Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You see, the message tonight is closely related to the sense of life. In fact, they go hand in hand. Yeah. Without the sense of life, our Christian life will be very shallow.
Yes.
And a lot of decisions you will make, you will just be making it based on some other criteria. Yeah, instead of going by the sense of life. Yeah, you know, when my daughter was going to go to college, we went to a lot of places. We went as far as South Carolina. I mean, it's like traveling all over the United States. Then all the admissions started coming in. Then she was faced with, which one should I go to?
Yeah.
And she came to us. To me and my wife, and said, which one should I go to? I said, I don't know. Every day, we just go to the Lord and pray with her so that she will learn how to live by the sense of life.
Amen.
We pray so much, and nothing is forthcoming. So one day, she said, you have to choose for us. I said, if I have to choose for you, I have to choose based on what my pocket can afford. I said, I don't have physical money to waste. Of course, to spend a lot of money on our children, that is very good too. But really, I thought it's not a matter of making the choice by what I can afford. So one day she just came to us, and she told my wife first. And she said, I'm going to go to Rutgers. Okay. Yeah. You know, the Lord is merciful. You see, based on my pocket, at that time, Rutgers was relatively very cheap.
Amen.
And I mean, you see, if I had done it in that way, maybe she would not have opportunity to really gain the Lord and really live by the sense of life. It was a lot of praying together, and it was a lot of fellowship with the Lord. Yeah. So really, our Christian life, if it has to be solid, sense of life and fellowship of life is really very critical.
Amen.
You see, I have a lot of good friends at work, organization. When we come together and we want to make decisions about certain things, I feel so bad with myself that I have to be there to make such decisions with them. Something in me we say, can't we pray? I say, can't we pray? Can't we fellowship with the Lord? Wow, it's so painful. And you are sitting there, whatever their decision is, if I look at my sense of life, it's completely different. Right? So it's really a big a punishment. But really, the Lord is merciful. Yeah. Sometimes they learn and come back later and said, but you said we should have taken that way. Yeah, because my own way is not a natural way. I have a divine GPS. I have the sense of life.
Yeah.
Right, so whenever we do anything, it has to be on the sense of life. And we need to know how to have a thorough fellowship with the Lord in everything that we do.
Amen.
So going to the outline, he said, the fellowship of life. I want to read some aspect from the lesson book. It says, the source of the fellowship of life. Where does the source of the fellowship of life come from? 1 John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, we, that means the apostles, report to you, the believers, the eternal life, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, the fellowship which is ours is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, this has nothing to do with our human smartness or a human mind in a natural way. Everything has to do with something in the divine Trinity. He said, for our fellowship is with the Father. He said, these verses show that the apostles preach unto us the eternal life so that we may have fellowship. So the eternal life is the life of God. And the life of God entering into us enables us to have fellowship. So you see, what you can have at work is just discussion. And then make decisions based on some natural things. You see, I mean, you cannot disrupt their way of doing their things. But yet, at least, we have the opportunity to still turn to the Lord in our spirit and do things by the sense of life. You see, whatever they decide, I have no choice. Yeah, they still have to go their way, but I will still make my suggestion, not insisting on anything. But eventually, they will come and say, oh, wow, you said that. You see, we have to be distant. Yeah, whichever way we are, in anywhere that we are, whether we are at work or with our colleagues or wherever we go, yeah, there has to be something coming out of us that knows, that makes them feel that, oh, this person is not shallow, that this person has depth. Yeah. Since this fellowship comes out of the life of God, it is the fellowship of life. The life of God, therefore, is the source of the fellowship of life. Then item B says, the medium of the fellowship of life. The life of God rests in the Holy Spirit of God, and it is through the Holy Spirit of God that the life of God enters into us and lives in us. Therefore, the fellowship brought to us by the life of God, though derived from the life of God, comes by means of the Holy Spirit of God. Wow, this is very powerful. It comes by the means of the Holy Spirit of God. Hence, the Bible also calls this fellowship, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In fact, if you go to Christianity out there, that is their benediction, to bless people. But really, this has something to do with the dispensing of the triune God into us. Uh-huh. You see, one of the benefits of our fellowshipping, through fellowship, we get the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Wow. What a great supply. That the whole of the triune God is being wrought into us because of fellowship. Right? Right. He says, therefore, if we desire to have fellowship of life, we must not only have the life of God, but also live in the Holy Spirit of God. The life of God is the source of the fellowship of life, and the Holy Spirit of God is the medium of the fellowship of life. Right? Wow, we need to know how to touch our mingled spirit.
Amen.
Right? When we become regenerated, God's life enters into us to quicken our spirit,
Amen.
To make us alive. We are born anew.
Amen.
Right? Because we have eternal life, we can have fellowship of life.
Amen.
But the medium is the Holy Spirit. Amen. How much we need to know how to pray ourselves into the triune God.
Amen.
So that we can enter into such a divine fellowship. Right? Then the meaning of the fellowship of life. Fellowship means joint participation. Common participation. It is the issue of eternal life, and it is actually the flow of the eternal life within all the believers. Wow, the Spirit is not limited in any way, right? Between all the believers. that possess the divine life. It is carried out by the Spirit in our regenerated spirits. Hence, it is called fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the fellowship of our spirit in Philippians 2:1. It is in this fellowship of the eternal life that we believers participate in all the Father and the Son have done, in all that the Father and the Son are and have done for us. That is, we enjoy the love of the Father, the grace of the Son, by virtue of the fellowship of the Spirit. This life flowed out from God. Our God is a flowing God. Right. In eternity, you know, there is a verse in 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verse 16. It says, God lives in an unapproachable light. But because he determined to flow out to reach us. You see, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Then John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. In John chapter 8, Philip told the Lord, he says, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Then the Lord told him that he who have seen me, he have seen the Father. The God who lived in on an approachable life became approachable. Mm-hmm. He sat with the believers. He ate with them. He came. He healed the sinners. But he wants to go a step further so that he can flow out and reach us so that we can enter into fellowship with him. Amen. So he is the grain of wheat that fell to the ground, died, and became many more grains. Thank you, Lord, that in resurrection you defeated the evil one, because he walked out of death in victory. Amen. He became the life-giving spirit, the spirit that conveys everything that the Father is in the Son, and transmitted into us as the Spirit. So our Lord is a flowing, is flowing out, and he wants to flow out in fellowship to reach every one of us. Amen. So whatever we are doing, we need to learn how to enter into fellowship and pray ourselves into the triune God. You know, there was sometimes in a church in Nutley, originally, I'm from church in Nutley. You know, we were trying to embark on a big project, and we were about six brothers there. So we have a lot of fellowship. It's like we wanted to embark on this project, and we were all seriously in a hurry, and we thought we really needed it. But the more we come together to pray and fellowship, the more we have some kind of sensing that the time is not ripe. Things of life is very slow, right? If you want to live by life. You see, you can produce a lot of flowers, artificial flowers. You can produce millions overnight. But when it comes to life, life is not that fast. It helps us to know that we really need to spend time with the Lord. So that it's not just a matter of having some kind of success. But really, the goal is that through our fellowship, the Lord will be able to rot himself into us. You see, at times, even sometimes without praying, we may accomplish success, but yet it's a big loss if we don't gain the Lord, right? Because every opportunity in small decision, not to talk of big decisions, of course, big things will really put us down, but in small situations, if we learn how to enter into fellowship with the Lord, you see that big things will be so easy, because we have a way. The Lord can handle everything. Amen. Right. So in every situation, we need to learn how to carry to the Lord in prayer. You see, we thought within 1 week, we will embark on this project. It's taking 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. Then we thought we found a solution. But when we started praying, the sense of life says, He's not there. Six brothers are there. Then five says, okay, let's move forward. But there is one there. And if we know, if you only need one to break the oneness, and if there's no oneness, there will be no blessing. You see, that's why our fellowship needs to be thorough, really need to be thorough before the Lord. Because the oneness, we just come. If we pray and be in real fellowship and communion, yeah, we're the triune God, right? Right. Then the last item I'm going to touch here is we must maintain the fellowship of life. Yeah, we must maintain the fellowship of life. So the believer's relationship in life with God is unbreakable and unconditional. However, their fellowship with God is breakable and conditional. You see, it's like my daughter comes to me and say, oh, you are not my dad anymore. I say, it's too late. You are my daughter. You are my daughter. Our relationship with the Lord is unbreakable.
Amen.
But our fellowship may be broken. Yeah, you see, as the fathers, they're always waiting for their sons or their daughters, praying for them that the fellowship will be renewed. They will come back home and start enjoying all the riches that has been provided for them.
Right.
You see, I have three children. I mean, I'm not trying to say that I have a favorite. You see, each one of them is very unique in their behavior. And I know if I go into any confrontation with certain one, I have to back up because she's going to go into her room and she won't talk to me for days. Such a one didn't realize that when she's not talking to me, I'm praying that please, Lord, how can we restore this fellowship? And eventually, maybe the Lord will use something in the environment that he or she cannot handle. Then come back and say, oh, Daddy. I say, thank you, Lord. I say, thank you, Lord. When I hear Daddy, you know, when somebody calls you, we daddies know, when our children say Daddy, oh, we feel so happy. Yeah. Yeah. So we're really, the point is our relationship with our Father God is forever, is eternal. But our fellowship can be broken. You see. But the Father is always waiting for us. And you repent, turn our heart back to Him.
Amen.
Confess our sins so that the relationship can really be restored.
Amen.
And even our children know when the relationship is restored, they become happy. They become joyful.
Right.
Somebody who looks a little bit low, down, when I pass on one side of the house, takes the other side. When he or she hears my voice, say, oh, where is he coming from? Is he coming from the living room? I'm going to go to the attic. All those avoidance, they are gone. The house becomes joyful, and the joy will just come in. So really, fellowship is really very, very critical that we need to have a relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
And by sense of life and our fellowship of life, believe our Christian life will really be very solid.
Amen.
You see, there's nothing we can do without living by the sense of life.
Right.
If we do it based on some other criterion that I say, oh, I can afford this kind of car, then not that what you can afford, but Lord, do I really need a Porsche car or just something to take me to work? Or do I need a van that I can bring the saints with me? Lord, lead me.
Amen.
You see, all these little items, they might look very little, but really before the Lord, they are really very, very important. Yeah, may the Lord lead us on, and that we will be useful materials for His heart desire. The Lord wants to accomplish His eternal purpose, but
Amen.
It is by the way of life,
Amen.
And the sense of life, and also the fellowship of life.
Amen.
Without these items, we have no way. Yeah, our church life will be empty. And in fact, look at us here. We are like rainbow. How can that happen? Yeah. It doesn't matter whether you are blue or red or yellow or black or white. We have the same Father. That is why we can have the fellowship of life. Yeah, the cycle of life, the fellowship of eternal life. Because we have the same Father, we have the same source.
Amen. Young people, who is God to you? Life. Who is God to you? Or who gives you life? Father, right? I'm really impressed with the fact that we take it for granted many times that God is our Father. Yesterday's meeting, we mentioned that we need to learn the secret of become a good Christian. Or many times we have this problem of trying to be a good Christian, right? Actually, the Bible doesn't refer to us as Christians that much. There's only three mentionings of the word Christian in the New Testament. And in two times, it's mentioned as a term of despise. It's a term of, someone, they were called Christian because they were some who followed Caesar Nero at that time. It was the time of Roman Empire. So they called those people who follow Caesar as Caesaranos. And those who follow Christ, Christianos, Christians. So later that became the term Christian. But the Bible shows us that God is our Father.
Amen.
Amen. God is our Father.
Amen.
John 1:12 says, as many as receive him, to them he gave the authority to work in his great company, right?
No.
To those who believe in his name. What does it say? So as many as, okay, you haven't been memorizing your verses. This is the memory verse from message 4, I believe. Okay, let's memorize these verses. Recite this verse if you can. For as many as receive him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God, to those who believe into his name. We're his children. Yes? Huh?
You don't have that on the membership.
You should have.
No, we still
have it. Oh, yeah. You don't have the message on regeneration.
Right.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Let me give you another verse that I enjoyed. This is 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And we are.
Amen.
We are. We are the children of God. And God is really our Father. Okay, here, Brother Ola has mentioned Roman numeral 4. We must maintain the fellowship of life. How about brothers, you read A. The believer's relationship
in life with God is unbreakable and unconditional.
Sisters, B. All together on C. Therefore, whenever we feel the fellowship is broken, we must repent and confess to restore the fellowship with God. No, still, I think even though we know those verses, many times we consider God our boss or someone that's keeping track of all our faults or knows our shortcomings and he's not that happy with us, right? It's easy, of course, with God we have many relationships, but as a child of God, our relationship with our Father is unconditional. Doesn't matter what you do or how far you've dripped away. I was reminded of a story in the Gospel of Luke 15, commonly known as the parable of the prodigal son. But actually, It was about a parable of a father who had two sons, right? And the younger one didn't like to stay home. So he told his father, give me my inheritance. So he took his inheritance and he went out and he squandered everything. And eventually he ran out of money. He had no place to stay. He had to end up working for someone, and someone just sent him to feed pigs. And he was so hungry that he wanted to eat what the pig eats. And eventually he came to himself. He realized, what am I doing here? My dad's servant has much more food than what I have here. So he decided he wants to go back. But as he was going back, he was rehearsing with himself, right? Anybody remember what he said or what he was going to say to his father? He said, yes. Yes, I'm not worthy to be your son. So in his concept, I've done so many bad things. My dad's going to disown me. He's going to put an ad in the newspaper. He's not my son anymore. But, you know, maybe I can put in an application to be his servant. So at least to be a servant, I'd be fed, right? So that was his logic. I'll just go back to my father's house, and maybe my father don't want me anymore, but I can still work for him. But what happened to the father? The father actually was sitting outside, I believe, daily, waiting for this son to come back to him. So once he spotted him far off, he ran and hugged him and put clothes on him, put rings on his finger, put sandal on his feet. And then the son started to say, Father, I've sinned against the heaven and I am no longer worthy to be your son. And then the father just cut him off. What are you talking about? Come in. We'll throw the feast for you. That was the father's heart. Okay, Josh is getting ready. Okay, so the condition that we have with our father is unconditional. Please remember this, young people, because no matter how far you've gone, how low you've gone, how many bad things you think you have done, you are your father's son. Amen. You have a heavenly father who loves you. Right? So, you know, many times I have children. When I come home from work, usually I come back and, you know, when they're little, I come home and I would say, hello, I'm home. Daddy. Daddy, right? But even up till today, one of my son, actually more than one, you know, I'll come home and I'll say, hello, I'm home. And then, a door will be open and...
Go.
I want to see. Hey, Josh, how's your day?
Good.
That's usually his answer. But he usually doesn't... Do you usually ask me how's my day? Not that much, right?
Next week.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. So our relationship with our Father is unconditional, can never be broken. Doesn't matter where you are, right? He's always my son. Even if I like him, he doesn't like me. I love him. You know, sometimes maybe doesn't look that way, right? To him, but I love him. He's my son, right? We have a life relationship. But, however, their fellowship with God is breakable and conditional. So, sometime, he's always my son, no matter what he does, right? But once in a while, or sometimes, I will come home, I'm home, and no one's coming, and the door is closed, and I know he's in there. right? What's wrong? He doesn't want to talk to me. Or he's hiding from me, right? Various reasons. Maybe because I said something that offended him, right? Or maybe he did something that he's afraid to let me know. Now, how many of you are home with your report card? And you know what's on the report card is not so pleasing to your parents. So you're kind of dreading. You're kind of hiding from your parents. When they're home and they know, Ethan, where are you? Right? You're hiding. There's a problem there, right? There's a, the fellowship is easily broken. It's conditional, right? If you get a straight A, what would your reaction be? Hey, Dad, what's up? Yeah? Guess what I got today, right? If you're happy, if the relationship or the when there's no problem, it's very easy to have fellowship, right? So the condition, the life relationship never changes, it's unconditional. But the fellowship with your father often breaks or often is interrupted, says here, interrupted by various things. Now, I want to ask you a question. When there's a problem that goes on between me and my son, who do you think wants to restore this fellowship more? Is it him or is it me? Me, yes. Actually, I believe so. Because he, maybe not, just think about yourself. I believe sometimes you can go on for days not talking to your parents, right? You don't really care. You don't really want to talk to them because maybe you got offended or maybe there is a problem that hasn't been resolved, so you don't want to talk to them. Well, what about your parents? Do they want the situation to stay that way? No. Actually, they're trying their very best, trying to restore that fellowship, right? So sometimes I may do something, you know, for him. I may do different things to try to cheer him up, to cause him to come back, to talk to me about what's going on with him. You know, maybe there's something that's really troubling you, that you want to talk to your father, but you know you're just afraid because you think that your father is going to say something about your problem. Well, that actually happens a lot with our fellowship with God. Now, what is fellowship? What is the meaning of fellowship? Fellowship is something in life. But I was touched with this little footnote from the Recovery Version. It says, fellowship, I think it's better if I just read it. Okay, this is a footnote from chapter 1, verse 6. It says, to have fellowship with God is to have intimate and living contact with Him in the flow of the divine life. So to fellowship with God is not just to get some advice. God really likes to just to talk to you about what's going on in your life, what's going on in your heart right now. Whatever that concerns you, whatever that makes you anxious, things that are troubling you, He really likes to find out. He really likes you to open up to Him and tell Him. He's not there to condemn you, right? He's not there to judge you. He knows what you're going through. He's your father. He cares for you. But we are very much bothered in our religious concept. Why do we need the fellowship of life? You know, is it just to get advice? You know, like our brother shared, many times we use this word very loosely. Let's have some fellowship. Meaning that, you know, I need some advice. Brother Ricky, let's have some fellowship. So often, that is, you know, there's something that I don't understand, there's something that I'm not clear, let's talk about it, maybe you can give me some advice. That's good, that's helpful, but what God really wants first is the fellowship of life, the intimate living contact with God himself. You know, God is your Father, and since you have received him into you as your life, as your Father, he has begotten you, you can talk to him about anything. We shouldn't be afraid to talk to him about anything. And it is through this kind of talking, communication, intimate contact with the Lord, that what he is, all that he is, gets infused into you. Right? Again, maybe I'll come back to Joshua and I. The more I talk to him, the more all that my experience, my wisdom, can be imparted into him. Actually, all that I am, I have experienced, I have gone through our talking, can be infused into him, right? So if he just come to me to get advice, I can give him advice. But if we just talk, eventually through that kind of speaking, fellowship, contact, all that I am can be infused into him. So the function of the fellowship of life is really to impart. God's desire is not just to give us a lot of advice, to impart all that he is. He is life. He is strength. He is encouragement. And he is calmness. You know, this morning in the review, I believe more than two sisters mentioned about the matter of anxiety, right? If you're anxious about something, you need to come and talk to the Lord. Talk to God, your Father. He is what's the opposite of anxiety? He is the calmness. Nothing bothers him. Nothing makes him anxious. You know, I often, when I read the Bible, God wants to do something, Satan always does it first, right? He wants to get into man, but Satan got into man first through the fall. But was God anxious? No, God is not anxious. He knows what's going on. Everything is in his control, right? So he is just that kind of person. He is a calm person. So the more we talk to him, the more who he is infused into us. Now, in 1 John chapter 1, we see this matter of the cycle of life. We have a song about it. I asked the brother maybe to put something up. Let me read these verses to you. This is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. So in these few verses, we see kind of four things. And that forms a cycle. First, we have received the divine life. And this divine life enables us to have fellowship, the divine fellowship. And in this divine fellowship, when you contact God, who is God? According to verse 5, who is God? God is light. He's the divine light, right? And when you contact light, what do you sometimes see? When if I open the window and light shines in, you sometimes see dust, right? See things that are not so pleasant, so clean. So as you're contacting God and meeting God, His light shines upon you, and then you realize there's some shortcomings, failures that you have. And right there, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from every sin. And that brings in more life. So this is a cycle. This is a cycle. You know, I used to have a concept that, you know, if you don't obey the Lord, right, you can get out of this cycle and end up somewhere else. And you have to work very hard to come back to this cycle. But actually, today, as I was getting into the Word, actually, we never leave this cycle. But a cycle has to always be circulating, like a blood circulation, right? You could stop the circulation, but you're always in here somewhere. Because you always have the divine life. Divine life does not leave you. But you could stop the circulation. And, you know, I was considering how to bring up an experience. I was praying very much, Lord, I don't know how to apply this to the young people. So over the dinner, you know, as I was praying, the Lord answered my prayer as I was fellowshipping with a brother over the dinner. You know, that brother asked me a question. He asked me, how do you know sometime that you're just doing introspection? You know what is introspection? Introspection is, let me describe introspection to you. You know, I want you to think about something that you really like, but you know that it's not compatible with God. That you feel like God is not, probably is not happy about that. And if you feel that, if you try to go to God and bring this thing up, you think that He's probably not going to be happy about it, right? Isn't that this sometime your experience? There's something that you really like, and you're afraid to talk to God about it because you kind of assume that He's going to tell you, you got to give that up. Otherwise, I'm not going to talk to you. Many times, that's my concept. Well, let me just give you my experience. You know, I recently, or not so recently, for several years, I like to watch, like one of the brothers mentioned in the review, I like to watch TV series. Though a lot of people like to binge watch all these what do you call that? TV shows, right? I wouldn't say I binge watch, but I like to watch them. You know, I like to go borrow. I don't rent them. I borrow from the library. I like to watch them. And some of these shows are not, you know, they're not all clean. Little House on the Prairie, you know, Green Gables, not this kind of show. Some shows are modern shows, right? And you know what's going on in a lot of these modern shows. So I know this is not something that I should be doing, but I really enjoy watching TV shows, some of these, especially the sci-fi ones, the things that are, you know, very intriguing. So, you know, more than once, I felt like if I'm going to talk to God about it, I felt like that's what He's going to say. So I'm afraid to talk to God about these things. Well, that is introspection. That's assuming what your dad's going to talk to you about it. Actually, you know, If he's going to talk to me about something, I may not respond right away. Hey, that's bad, Joshua. Terrible, right? I know him, and I know how much he can handle. So if I know that he can't handle right now, I'm not going to tell him to give that up, right? That's the same way we should be with God. So introspection is going to God with your problems, with all your failures, and assuming that what he's going to say. But you know, in this verse, blood of Jesus follows the divine light and follows fellowship. So what's important to God, actually, is that you talk to him. You just bring every concern that you have to God. If you have a problem, some of you have problem at school, maybe with a friend, maybe with your classes. Those concerns, you can talk to God. If there's something that you like my TV shows, but you feel like you don't know what God feels like, ask him about it. Lord, how do you feel about these TV shows? I really enjoy watching them. I know they're bad, but you know, some are bad, but I really like watching them, Lord. So the more you talk to God, the more he allow you to know his feeling. That's why this lesson follows the one that we have this morning concerning the sense of life. So you need to pay attention to the sense of life, because that's how God talks to you. How do you know God is telling you something? Well, if I bring my TV show to the Lord, and you don't have the feeling of empty or weak, then you still feel peaceful, you still feel at ease, then that's okay. Keep watching the TV shows. Don't be turned off. Don't be hindered. Don't have your presumption hinders you from talking to the Lord. Okay, don't not talk to the Lord because of what you think that he's gonna talk to you about. Just take every opportunity. When you have some, when you get up in the morning, when you have some time, just learn to talk to the Lord, fellowship with the Lord. Enter into this fellowship with the Lord. And as you talk to the Lord, have fellowship with the Lord, pay attention to the sense inside. And anytime when the Lord gives you a feeling that you feel empty, you know, I used to also have a problem with something else. I'm not going to tell you what it is. That I pray many times, Lord, I can't. You know, I pray, I confess, but I ended up doing it again. So I pray, I confess, but after a while, I do that again. So I started praying, Lord, help me. Oh, well, not help me. Lord, I just give this matter to you. I can't deal with it. I just can't overcome it. Remember yesterday's illustration? You know, if you keep trying, going to fulfill the law, to obey the law of the commandments, you're too weak compared to the law of sin and death. You can never be free from that kind of bondage. But you need to learn to talk to the Lord and just give yourself to the Lord. Lord, I give myself to you. Lord, I don't know how to overcome this problem that I have. I know it's bad. I know it's not good for me, Lord, but I just give it to you. You ended up doing it again? Confess, right? If it's something sinful, just confess, Lord, I'm sorry. I give myself to you again. Lord, it is through this cycle of life that life grows in you, that life increases in you. So don't stop the cycle. Amen. Don't stop the fellowship. Amen. For any reason. Right? Don't let anything stop your fellowship with the Lord. You can always come to the Lord, and you can always talk to Him. You can always contact Him. So I would like to just end with a song in our booklet, Psalm 15. We sang it in the Lord's Table meeting, Psalm 15. We have a Father. Amen. Whose heart is good toward us. Yeah, how about I sing this hymn, and we can have some sharings afterwards.